The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Right, our guest today is Amber Grant, right? Team Lead, Regional Case Management Unit. We're going to be talking today about children's safety, how to protect young ones from murder. Very vague there. How to protect your children from murder. So, Ms. Grant, sorry about the later bringing you in there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting us.
All right, thank you.
From the authority.
From us, okay. This is from the Regional Case Management. When you say the authority, the Children's Authority?
The Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, the Children's Authority, the Great Children's Authority. How's the Children's Authority doing on their stance, or what is, you know, the Children's Authority role when we hear these cases with children being murdered?
Now, on behalf of the authority, the Children's Authority, we want to express deepest condolences to the family and to that community where this horrendous crime took place, because to lose a child in such a manner is not good for anyone, right? And as mothers and parents within the authority, we feel the pain as well. Now, can we actually prevent this from happening? No, we can't. We cannot predict that something like this will happen to anyone. No one can, right? But what the authority can do is help us understand how we can protect our children. How do we tell our children who to call, who to lean on if something happens to them? That is what we do at the authority. One of the many things that we do at the authority based on our legislative mandate.
All right, you teach. So you're basically teaching parenting skills.
While we don't teach parenting skills, because that is a specific function done by other entities within the country, we actually help or give suggestions to parents on how they can protect children, especially as we are coming into the July-August vacation. What are the things we look out for? What are the things to do to help protect your children?
Mm-hmm. So in these times of, let's say, like the single mother with a child or children, single mommy might be getting into a relationship, you know, single mommy might have to work, single mommy might meet this guy, know him for a month or two, and then, you know, have to leave children. Hey, what you turn for me, and I think, you know, I don't think, is advice given on things like that?
No, let me correct you one time. It's not only single mommies, we have single fathers as well.
Well, yeah.
And we have fathers who are doing a very good job in caring for their children. So what we tell both mother and father, be very mindful of the relationship that you're getting into. Do you know this person's background? Do you know their families? Now, while we say, I was here listening to your conversation where you're saying, you know, trust no one. But I remember back in the day, it took a village to raise a child.
We're not back in the days anymore, miss.
However, sir, we are still living in a village, are we not?
Not really. People living amongst themselves. Sometimes you live on a street, you don't even know your neighbor. You don't even speak to your neighbor.
And that is unfortunate, because at the end of the day, when things like this happen, it affects not just the family. It affects the entire village. It, in fact, affects the entire street. It affects the entire community. Mm-hmm. So to say that, you know, it's not there again, this is why we need to bring it back again. We need to remove ourselves from being selfish and seeing about just in our four walls. Whatever happens in our street affects all of us.
Mm-hmm. But you would expect things like that in a village like Los Heroes, where this thing happened, where everybody would know everybody. You would expect the village raising a child. You would even expect that to happen where it happened in Tobago, a place like Tobago, village raising a child, everybody looking out for everybody. But look at where these things are happening in villages like those. So if it happened in villages like those, what do you expect from me living in the concrete jungle?
And I agree with you, but all we can do is continue spreading the word, having sensitization, speaking to parents, which we do at schools when we are invited to schools. We have community-based outreach. This is how, because remember, we have to change the thinking of persons to understand that a child's right to be a child is very important. And the more we speak and the more we come out and we teach persons and we help them look at different ways of raising a child, one can only hope that eventually something will stick and there'll be changes.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people seem to think, Miss, that the Children's Authority is a toothless bulldog, right? I believe the Children's Authority should be the one clamoring for, right now, especially when we had, what, about 6 murders or 7 murders of children for the year thus far, for some sort of, more legislation, something to be, if you are found guilty of bringing bodily harm to a child, that, something is supposed to happen to you more stricter than you just sitting down in the prison and eating 3 square meals a day on taxpayers' money. Something. The Children's Authority come out and do something. Some people expect that of you. What say you?
So I cannot speak to what our laws already state, because we have very strict laws that speak to if you're found guilty of a certain crime, there is a punishment and a penalty for same, right? And we are bound by the laws of the land. Hmm. However, as I was saying before, that all we can do is teach parents on how to protect. And another thing I would like to bring as well, I understand people say we are toothless bulldog. I don't like bulldogs, but okay, we are toothless bulldog, and we are not doing sufficient. I would like your listeners to understand what we are facing monthly since the inception of the Children's Authority. No month goes by where we don't get a plethora of cases coming into us, right? Mm-hmm. And for every year, we are seeing between 4,000 to 5,000 cases. It can be just a little over 4,000, or it can go over 5,000 cases every year since the authority has come into existence. And I want your listeners to let that sink in. 4,000 cases to 5,000 cases a year.
Well, what are some of these cases, Miss? Could you kind of share, what are some of the most, these
sure,
cases are the most popular biggest, cases?
The biggest, I'm looking at my stats here. Mm-hmm. The primary caregivers tend to be the biggest perpetrators. Mother, father, the primary caregiver. Could be the grandmother, somebody like that, right? Mm-hmm. Being the ones who are perpetrating against the children. We also have the biggest form of abuse is neglect, closely followed by sexual abuse. Yes? Mm-hmm. And I also want persons to understand it's not only children in Trinidad, local children. We have to consider there are children from outside of Trinidad and Tobago who live in the jurisdiction and who are being abused as well. So that is also coming into us. So we all know about the human trafficking link. So any child that has found in a raid comes to the attention of the authority, and a specialized unit within the authority, the migrant team, will kick in to provide for that child as well. Hmm. So as I said, neglect is the biggest category of abuse and maltreatment, with sexual abuse right after, and then emotional and verbal abuse, and as I said, the primary caregiver. And that's what we want persons to understand. Children who are abused 80% of the time, and I'm being very judicious with that number, they know who the perpetrator is. They're very aware of who the perpetrator is. Could be someone in their home, someone within the village, someone on the street, somebody in school, somebody in an extracurricular activity. They tend to know. Very rarely is someone that they don't know. Mm-hmm. Which is why we are telling parents, have the conversation with your children. If this is not permitted, you cannot have grown conversations with adults. You're not supposed to be engaging in certain relationships with adults. You're not supposed to be exposing yourself either to a child or an adult. If somebody has done something to you, whether it's a physical abuse, sexual grooming, who do you call? You must be able to tell that child who to call. Have that conversation. Let them know that you are the safe space for them and that they can come to you and tell you what is happening. Believe your child when your child says this is happening. What stops a child from disclosing is because they know they did it before, and mommy and daddy said, nah, you're lying, that would never happen.
But I was not going to ask you, but there are some parents who are in denial, and some parents who don't believe it. When their children will come and tell you, I hate to make it a woman thing again, but let me say, mommy and daughter move in with this man. You have a roof over, we have a roof over here. We had to keep a roof over here. Nah, you know? And she knows what it is. There are some parents who knows what it is going on. When the night come out, day come out, whatever it is, and absolutely in denial or turn another cheek just to keep a roof over the head or food on the table. What is a child to do in an instance like that?
So there's a teacher. So what some persons don't realize, sometimes the school is the safe space for the child. If the home is not your safe space, the school, there's always one teacher that makes, I can tell you who my favorite teacher was in primary school, and I'm close to 50. I can tell you who my favorite teacher was in secondary school as well. There's always that one person the child can trust, and sometimes some of the cases come into us is because they didn't tell the parent, you know, or they told the parent didn't believe. They went to the social worker, they went to the teacher that they trust, and the teacher reports it to us. So this is why we're telling the children, find someone that you trust who can listen to you, who will report it to us for us to come out and do our investigations and provide the necessary interventions.
What about a campaign? I mean, but how do we get this message across to the children? Is there a campaign being done where I always thought, you know, to have like a cartoon character where some children may trust this cartoon character with a if it's a hotline or something to tell, you know, to tell who? Because if, let's say a child is being abused, that child may not want to trust any adult at all, not even a teacher in school or another relative, but have sort of campaign going on where the child could feel trusting to tell something instead of somebody.
Somebody, right. So we do encourage children, as you know, schools will invite us because we do have a strong stakeholder engagement. We work very closely with the Ministry of Education, specifically the Student Support Services. We work closely with the TTPS, the Special Victims Unit, the Counter Trafficking Unit. We work closely with National Family Services. Once Student Support Services will reach out to us and say, hey, we want you all to come in, and it could be either we want you all to talk to the parents at the PTA or the PSG, Parent Support Group, or we want you to have some sessions with the children. Now, it doesn't matter the age. We can go into a preschool and talk to them at that level, and we can go to the teenagers and speak to them at their level. What we tell all our children is that if there's nobody that you can trust, you can call our hotline. We do take the information via the hotline. If they don't have access to a phone, everybody's on the web. We have had children use our web form to make reports, and we accept that. There's also Childline. They can also call Childline, which is 800-4321. They can call, and once they tell the person that, they will refer it to us for us to go out and investigate. So there are many avenues by which a child can make a report about what is happening to them.
All right. So for those of you all who just joined us, I mean, we're talking to our friend here, Amber Grant, right? And the main topic here is, she's of course the team lead regional case management unit, children's safety, how to protect your child from murder. How do you protect your child from murder? There are some people who may murder your child. You may not even think that, you know, would do such a thing. Of course, there's sometimes maybe red flags, and people may be, like I say, in denial, may not want to see. But how do you really protect your child from murder? Doesn't it come back to the same thing when I was saying don't trust anybody?
I wouldn't say don't trust anybody, but then you should be living by yourself if you don't trust anybody.
I do.
And we don't. So where I live, I may not know all the children on the compound, but I could recognize the children. So if I see somebody outside, like, that child is from that apartment there. Something is happening there. That's what I do. And it's not because of where I work. That's just how I am.
That's just how you are. But there are some people don't business. They don't care. Some people don't even care about their own children. You ever see some, I have seen parents walking with their children. They're walking in front of the phone and the child struggling with the book bag behind just to keep up.
Mm-hmm. We have seen that as well.
Some people just like, some people just make children for making children. Some people should not be parents.
No comment.
No, I'm telling you, right? And I have been calling for something called a tire tubes or vasectomy program, because there are some people that should not be parents. Should not be. But But back to where we were talking about, yeah, preventing your child from murder. I mean, in the area, you see something going on in the area, you see something, some people are afraid. There are some people know that children are getting abused, you know, licks, abused right next door to them, and they wouldn't say anything.
No, we also have a campaign as if you see something, say something, right? Mm-hmm. Child protection is everybody's business. You suspect, we always tell people, I don't need to know that Mr. Bass is calling the hotline. Mr. Bass sees something happening, he calls the hotline, he said, hi, this is happening next door to me. Every night, like clockwork, this child is bawling. The mother, you may not know the mommy's name, you might know the child's nickname. I live on number 47, 47 something street. My house is the blue one, and right next door to me, you will see an old brown car in front, a house, that is the house you're coming to. Mommy is a rasta, daddy is a rasta, and every night by clockwork. You give us all that information, we assign it to the team, we come out to investigate. This time I don't even know if you make the report.
Man, well, I hope it's not like when you make a police report.
I hope it's not like
when you make a police report, because I've made police reports anonymously, and then the police call me back to tell me, hey, you make this report? Think of anything?
No.
Yeah, no, that happens.
I cannot speak to that.
Okay.
I don't know.
But I've experienced that.
I don't know. But as I said, once you call, we don't ask you. Now, some people will call and say, my name is Amber Grant, and I'm calling to report that I am seeing XYZ. That's fine. Some persons will call and say, I only want the investigator to call me. So they put it on the note, this person can only be called by the investigator. And we know nobody else in the authority can call that person. So again, you don't need to give us your name. When we go out as well, so in my unit, we investigate cases, and I am for the western part of the country. We investigate cases, and if needs be, we provide monitoring or case management where we help the family and the child navigate different services throughout the country to get them in a position where they can stand on their own 2 feet. And part of our process is to speak to neighbors. Because I'm telling you, your neighbors know more about what's going on in your house than you know. Right? So we check in with the neighbors. And as I tell people, I don't even want to know your name. I just want to know if you have any concerns with that house. That's one thing. You see, anonymity and confidentiality, we are big on that. I will never tell you what somebody else told me. We'll never do that, because you have to be free enough to tell us. So that's what we tell people. You see something, you suspect something, call it in. We don't even need your name.
All right. Well, nice to know that you all may be better than the police. What about them with in terms of the working alongside, well, the authorities and the government? You make a report is one thing with the Children's Authority. What happens next?
So when a report comes in through our hotline, our persons on the hotline make a report immediately to the police, which is the Special Victims Department, right? If it is very late at night, we call the police, the station in the district, and we ask them to do a welfare check. So many of our reports that are coming in, it came in 2 o'clock in the morning, they contacted the police to ask for a welfare check and ask them to follow up, and the police will say, okay, we went out, and this is what we found, we have concerns. We know, or they went on and they realized this was a malicious report, nothing is happening in the home. We still go and make sure everything is okay. And if we have, there are no concerns, we close accordingly. So we work very closely with the police. If student support services, that's the social workers in the school or the guidance officers, they are working with a child and they realize something more is happening with the child, they call it into us. Our social workers work very closely with the social workers in the school. We'll have case conferences as necessary to find out what are the best steps to help this child and his or her family. If it is medical social work, a child appears in the hospital and it may be a case of abuse, especially physical abuse, doctors will call it in, the medical social work will call it in. We work together. And I also have to talk about the migrants. A raid is done by the counter trafficking unit or immigration, a child is found. We work together with them as well as the relevant embassies to get the necessary documentation for the child, find out where the parents are, and then we work to having migrant children reintegrated to the country of their origin with their families.
Mm-hmm. What about working with the, in terms of the government? I've seen an article here where someone is advocating, urges the Prime Minister to relaunch a child-centered ministry. Do you think having a child-centered ministry would make things better for children in this country working alongside the Children's Authority?
Well, we already have the Ministry of Social Development and Family Services that works very closely with the Children's Authority. I know there are meetings that are held, high-level meetings that are held on ways to... So there's a lot of advocacy that is happening. So I don't believe in duplication of services or duplication of a ministry. If we already have a ministry that's doing it and it's working with the Children's Authority, let's improve, let's move forward, and let's see how best we can get things done.
I hear you. A lot of the times, a lot of these things sometimes tend to start from when the child is born. I don't think enough is being done. We have a lot of children making children. Let's say a 14-year-old is pregnant, goes into the hospital to make a child. There's no follow-up. Who's the father of this child? We're just saying people are wrong. Things are being let go. I think sometimes one or two nurses say they report and thing, whatever, but nothing is really done. Is there anything?
Let me speak to that. Before a child, if a child goes into the hospital pregnant, the hospital will not see the child until you come. The person who brought the child has to come with a police receipt. That has always been, and that continues to be. So if the child comes in pregnant, did you make a police report, sir? Did you make a police report, ma'am? Please do so and bring back the receipt. So prove that, yes, because it is a crime, and that the police will be investigating. Once the child comes in pregnant, then the medical social work will contact the Children's Authority and say, hey, this child is 14, this child is pregnant. Now, you have to be mindful as well. If the child does not want to tell us who the baby daddy is, we cannot force it out of the child, we cannot beat it out of the child, we will never know. Sometimes in rapport building with the child, meaning you speak to the child and you get comfortable with the child might say, well, miss, sir, this is who the father of my child is. And they will say it. But if a child refuses, we cannot force it out of them.
So do you think it should be mandatory that a child should be able to say who the, if she comes pregnant?
Even if we make it mandatory, even if we make it mandatory, if you tell me I must do this, I can tell you I'm not doing it. And I'm an adult.
But it's not, the person is not an adult, it's a child.
Mandatory.
But it's not an adult, it's a child.
It's mandatory for us to wear our seatbelts when we're driving, right? As adults.
Well, if you don't...
But still drive without us. I know people.
And if you get caught, if you get caught, there's a charge.
And there's a charge. But with a child, so the rights of a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, if a same way we could say we're mandating a child to go through interventions. You must see the psychologist. The child will sit and watch the psychologist and they'll have a staring session. And then the 30 minutes or the hour will finish. Say, okay, thanks for coming. The child will get up and leave.
Okay.
You know, we cannot force it out of a child. We cannot. As much as we try, we talk, we have some children like that, and we never know who the father of the child is.
Mm-hmm. So nobody, you could follow them home or some kind of thing. And that was the final, but hey, we ain't going through all that. 625-2257, 627-3223, right? Of course, you could WhatsApp us at 306-1065. Let's talk to Miss Amber Grantier. If you have any questions for her, we'll spend 10 minutes again. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, lost that one there. Hello?
Hi, based question to you. Miss Grant, good day.
Good afternoon.
I'm hearing more reactive actions or reactive arms sort of moved by the Children's Authority. And you spoke about children making calls and so on. But don't you think that, I don't know what age group you're talking about. And if it's age group, particularly between 6 and let's say 12, don't you think one of the areas that children could be more informed would be using the school system? That's one. The question of medical for children. You have the elderly getting medical when they reach a particular age. Don't you think it would be wise for children to be examined, of course in the presence of the parents, at a particular age to find out if they are being interfered with and so on, as these kind of measures to really have the safety of children also included in a way going forward? You wouldn't really be surprised to be reactive instead of proactive. I'd listen off here.
Can I go ahead and answer?
Mm, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, so we do work with the schools. So as we stated before, so I know Carnival time at the Red Cross Children's Carnival, we always have a booth there. Children of all ages come to our booth and they get the information there. We do sessions with schools every week. I can tell you the communication, if not every week, every other week, the communications department receives requests for us to do sensitizations at the schools for as young as once a child can speak, 3, 4, right up to 17, because our mandate is up to 17. After 17.999, you become an adult. So we do sensitizations with children from various ages in the various schools, in the communities, at public events. Now, the part with the medical is very, very ticklish. We cannot, not even in the presence of a parent cannot take a child, I suspect my child having sex, do a test.
A parent cannot do that? That's what you're saying?
If the child does not say it is happening, we cannot do such a test. That is a very invasive test, and the child has a right to say yes or no, I want this happening to my body. So if a child, I suspect my daughter, I don't have a daughter, I suspect my daughter is having sex, and she telling me, you know, if I carry that child, even if it is a private doctor will not do it. If we carry them to the public health center, they will ask my daughter, are you having sex? If my daughter says no, I'm not having sex, what can we do? The litigation that will follow if a doctor decides they're still going to do that medical? No. A child has to say that this is happening to them for medical, and such an invasive medical, especially for sexual abuse, is done. If it is physical, you can see the bruises on the child's body. You're not going inside the child. Once it is sexual, the child has to say this is what is happening.
Okay. I got you. But I think one thing the caller was thinking that is that you're leaving it up a lot to the child. The child, like, how is a six-year-old being abused or something going to pick up a phone and call, hey, I've been abused, you know, they don't know, you know, they don't know better. A lot of these predators, they put fear into these children, watch me, this between us and thing, and they're very charming, or don't tell your mother nothing, otherwise you'll be out of our house, you wouldn't have a roof over here, and these kind of things.
So, which is why, again, So I understand the callers saying that we tend to be reactive. Unfortunately, if we could have figured out the formula, us and the TTPS, how to stop it from happening, we wouldn't have jobs. We wouldn't know how to stop it from before. Unfortunately, the Children's Authority was developed and born because there were a number of reports of abuse against children. But to prevent it, what we tell children, these are the things to look out for. This is your body. No one should be touching your body unless you're going for medical. Let's say you break your hand or you break your foot and the doctor has to check your body, that is fine. But we have to teach our children. That is what we do at the authority. We go out and we teach the children. We have child-friendly posters. I'm watching a set my desk right now that we give out to these schools. My team went out to a private school yesterday and took a picture. Say, hey, look at Children's Authority poster here. We send it out. We go out to the schools. So we do a lot. Now, if there's anyone here who would like us to come to their school and have a conversation with their children, we can do that. You just reach out to your Children's Authority, info@ttchildren.org, and communications will come out. They'll send out a team and we'll come out and work with you. I have done school tours already. So we do it. But again, we won't just go out. We have to be invited in to come and do sessions with your schools.
All right, so back to our original, topic there, how to prevent your child from being murdered, which is very vague. I mean, if you had to give us about five things.
Can we not say that? How to prevent a child from being murdered?
Well, that's what we're doing.
I would harmed. How do we protect our children?
How do we protect our children?
From hurt.
Well, okay.
From being hurt.
Okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does end up in murder, but then we protect the child from being murdered. Yes. All right, so how do we protect our children from being hurt? If you had to give them a five, as a parent, five, top five.
As a parent, one, you tell your children about okay and not okay touches, what is allowed. Two, stop calling your children's body parts lollipops and donuts and peanuts and all these things. I always remember going to school, primary school, and I like to play a game with my children, name the body parts. No, this is for the very young ones. And I start to point to my head and say, call it body part, and I point it to my nose, and they call it out. And when I went to the breast, the children start asking, so I jump, I'm like, what happened? Miss, you touch her. And they call the name. I said, but this is a body part. So when I pointed my butt, everybody is screaming and blushing. I said, but these are your body parts.
Mm-hmm.
They are just as important as your eyes, your fingers, your toes, your knees, and everything. But because parents instill, it's very weird. I don't understand it.
Because some parents don't know how to talk about, the birds and the bees.
Parents don't know how to talk about it, correct. Mm. But this is what we tell parents, stop calling it. Because when a man comes to a chance, says, can I lick your lollipop?
Oh my God.
And for them, a lollipop is their vagina. They were like, oh, well, I guess this is okay. Right? Use the proper names and terminologies for the body parts for your children. As soon as a child is able to talk and reason, start having that conversation with them of what they can allow parents to do, well, anybody to do and not do. And it let them feel, if it is mommy, it is daddy, it is uncle, is your brother, is your cousin, is the neighbor, is the pastor in the church, is the pundit, anybody who they can call, who they need to go to. And then I also want parents to know, now you started the conversation about single parent. Notice a single parent. I didn't say mother or father, single parent households. How do they protect their children? Now, there are camps that are coming out for the July, August. We always tell our parents, don't just go to a camp because you see it and you need the child to go somewhere. Talk to other parents. Usually what I do, I listen to what another parent says. The child was there before. They know the teachers. The teachers are excellent.
Yeah, but there are some parents might say, are you giving me money to put my child in a camp?
So if you don't have money to put your child in a camp, that means you have to get somebody who you trust and the child trusts. Now, if you trust the child and you realize the child, there's a reason why I want to go. You ask the child, why you don't want to go by auntie so-by-so? And it could be because auntie picking up the bill and hitting them with it. Or auntie picking up the cookie broom and hitting them with it. But they just don't know how to tell it because you and auntie good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Ask your child why. Or you might say, we're going by grandpa. Grandpa's home. And they don't like my grandpa because...
Hold on. Let's take another call here. Look, my partner here, Georgie. Well, he is actually from the area, Los Cerros, where this thing happened. Hello.
Yeah,
man, George.
I'm listening to the person there, right, saying that, send the children to a camp, send them to school, send them to church. But, within those institutions, they are the predators.
Mm-hmm.
They are the predators that, groom these children. They will groom them, and they will, bring them in their confidence within the institution, Because I know of churches where little children were raped, they were sodomized, and in the churches, the people did it. In school, there were teachers doing it. And you will say, in the institution, how they say home for the children there, they were abused. So how safe the children? Now, my personal, to get away of this, you see the thing called marijuana? Marijuana is a very, very dangerous drug.
What marijuana has to do with this, George?
It is a hallucinating drug, beast. When a fella smoke marijuana and he look at a cow, You may see a beautiful girl there.
Now, you can't blame marijuana on this thing, man. A sick person is a sick person. Now, some people not even smoking cigarette, and just the air they breathe and they're sick. You know what I mean? Come on.
This, I have the experience of these people. I have the experience of these young men.
All right, George.
They're driving in a car, right? They have a little child there.
But anyway, a woman did say she used to smoke marijuana with the fellow who killed the Mercedes girl. But thanks, George. Yeah. But, Miss Grant, yes, where were we?
Sir.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, well, put them in a camp and put them in here. And if you put them, again, we come back to trust. Put them with somebody that you trust. And I know you say you have to trust people, but you see the people like me who trust nobody. We need people like me out there.
Well, then, if your workplace has no problems, let the child accompany you to work. We have had parents, if the babysitter is not available, there's nobody else, the child comes. And I am the baby whisperer in the office. Baby coming on my lap, putting baby to sleep. You know, we have done it. Carry a child to work.
I do. I believe all these new government institutions, all these buildings they're building should have a nice little nursery or some kind of thing for children.
So I know there's one ministry, I don't want to call them out, because I once worked there, and they developed an after-school program at that ministry, which is still running. I'm proud. I'm happy to report.
Yeah.
So after school, children come there, and they get help with their homework. And during the vacation, they have vacation activities. So it reduces parents taking vacation, and the children are coming to work with them. Because I remember I used to go and tell stories with the children. In that ministry, one of the guys was teaching them how to play table tennis. Somebody was coming to teach them how to cook simple meals, very, very simple. Something as simple as a peanut butter sandwich, I guess.
Thanks, man. Let's take another call. Just on. Hello? Yeah, hello, Jets. Take a call. Hello?
Miss.
Yeah.
I never believe I will hear this on the radio. This man, believe in marijuana. Brave rum, not all rum and coke. This Mrs. Killers. They have it violently. When you smoke your weed, you're cool, you're relaxing, you eat some food, you're happy, you listen to Bob Marley and things, but you're not violent, dog, you're not violent. I tell you, you're not violent, man. What do you mean, boy? Where does it come from, boy? Ganja, eh?
All right. Now, different drugs are different things on people. But as we're talking about the drugs, I mean, there are some parents who smoke in front of their children, drink in front of their children, introduce their children into the gateway, you know, the gateway drug, so to speak. I mean, what do you say about that? And what could the Children's Authority do about that? About what's going on in the home that, you know, a lot of people don't know or find acceptable?
So I want to dispel a myth that we have in the country. Marijuana is still illegal. It has been decriminalized, which is different from being illegal. So if you are found with a very small amount, they may not charge you. It doesn't mean it's not legal. It's just they found a small amount, so they won't charge you for that. However, there are parameters. If you are found in the presence of a school smoking your weed, you could get charged. If you are smoking with your children in the house with your marijuana, you could get charged. If you have your marijuana nearby where the children could access, you can get charged as well. So this is why we tell parents, you're smoking in marijuana, fine, you know, but you cannot do it in front of the children. Wait till the children go to school, smoke your weed, and when they come home, you move as normal. But we always warn our parents about that. Our parents, yes, we do. With the two callers, where they were saying marijuana and the alcohol, can I kindly tell your listeners, giving your children a sip of the thing to kill the worms is not good. Because if you look at the science, children that are exposed or are given anything like marijuana, drugs, any type of drugs, alcohol, it messes with their system. It stops their development. Which is why we tell parents, you don't give your children alcohol. We don't give your children marijuana. You don't even give them cigarettes because it's not good on their bodies. Yeah? It's not even good for us as adults.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah.
And to the goodly lady, good afternoon to you, my dear. And thank you so much for making that point clear as crystal that marijuana is still illegal. It has only been decriminalized. I have seen people smoking marijuana in front of the police and, and in public, and nobody's saying anything about it. And I am so happy that I was trying to get that point across a long time, but I do hope that you can reiterate that point before you leave to make it clear that marijuana has only been decriminalized and it is still illegal, and it should be done only in a private confines. Thank you very much, Ms., for making it clear.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. What's that one there? Yeah, boy. But our children, and I mean, it's really sad to know what's going on with our children. Just the other day, but before I got my vegan, I travel sometimes, and I got into this maxi, and there were four children in this maxi. None of them couldn't have been past, 8 or 9 years.
Eight or nine.
And I've been seeing a lot of children, you know, little children, they walk in the streets, they're traveling. You know, I mean, sometimes it's good to teach your children the responsibility and things, but oh God, you're seeing the little ones sometimes, I don't know, but I know some children are small-bodied, but they're looking like 7, 6, you know, walking the streets by themselves. Maybe they're just going from school to meet mommy or daddy in the office, wherever they're working and things, but that to me is, and you can't be everywhere if you want to, you know, to pick them up and things, and like I say, teach them all the responsibility and things, but that is kind of like scary in these times, even if you have a driver you trust with your children and things, but I don't know, boy. Boy?
It is. And, you know, sometimes we tell persons, move in numbers. Mm-hmm. My child is an only child. So we didn't allow him to go any. So we used to pick him up from school. It's only as he reached Form 4, we said, okay, so let's try this out.
Form 4?
But he knows the call before he leaves school and when he arrives. Right. I know my father, if by a certain time my child doesn't reach home, he's calling me, hi, he's not here yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? And I'm calling. You know, same thing if he goes by the other grandparent as well. So, and then again, he knows where I work, and he knows, we have drilled it into his head, what to expect, what not to expect. We understand parents sometimes don't have the means. Not every parent has a car.
Mm-hmm.
Not every parent is in a position to travel. Things have raised. The price to travel, traveling costs have gone high, sky high. And sometimes it's difficult for a parent to travel with the child and then travel back to go to work. We understand that. What can we do? All we can do is to talk to the child. What to expect, what not to expect, what not to do. We still tell parents, I remember one parent, I use a lot of real life examples. And I remember one parent telling me, you know, if you know how early she'll have to get up to carry the child soon and to go back to work, I say, yeah, that's what you have to do because your name is mommy. So you get up, you carry the child to school, and then you head to, and sometimes the school is within walking distance, take a cool walk, carry the child, and then you can travel to work. We tell parents it's a child, and it is your responsibility.
And that's the thing, not all parents are responsible. You see, when you're saying, you're telling the parents, but some of these parents like children, they have some children more mature than their parents. It's sad.
It is. I agree with you with that one. It is.
I said, there's no hope in this thing that way.
No, you can't. My mother always says, when there's life, there's hope.
Yeah, when there's life, there's hope. But boy.
And we are all alive.
Mm.
So we must have hope. We have to hold on to that.
Yeah. Hold on.
That better days will come.
Better days are coming. Amen. Ms. Grant, thank you very much. I know I'm probably stressing out there, but you know, really and truly, boy, it ain't easy.
Yes, it is a difficult topic to have, especially with what is happening. But again, let us, and I want to say what the caller said, I want to reiterate, marijuana is still illegal, people. Please do it in your personal space when the children are not around. Right? But as we said, you want us to come out, you want us to come into your community, you're having something. I know communities do, holidays are coming up, so if it's not a football camp, they're doing a fun day, we can come. We will send out a team and we will come and we will have that conversation with your community.
Yeah, but I still feel the children's authority needs to do a little bit more. But you see, we live in a visual time. You all need to talk the children's language. I don't see you all on TikTok. It needs to be like, tell the parents and the children where a camp is, where you could go to, maybe for, you know, for a minimum course, so the children will go tell the parents, mommy, look, I see this camp thing advertising, you know, can we go here? And it could be on a little alternative or something, make the thing more, you know, you all have to wean to the children more, man. Talk the children language a little more and family planning and everybody. You're not talking to the children. You're all talking to these parents who don't care.
Nah, don't say that. We are talking to the children. We are.
Okay.
But we take note of the TikTok. I'm sure my communication people are listening as well.
Need that. Have a TikTok page, man. The children's community, children's authority TikTok page. Yes, you need that.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a good suggestion, and I'm liking it. I know we're on Facebook. We are.
Nah, Facebook is for old people. That is old. That is old thing. Old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like the TikTok suggestion. So that's something we can look at see if it's something can be done. I like that. Thank you very much.
Okay, miss. At least we leave with something. Right? Yeah.
Thank you very much. On. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.